Welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Adam, it was not always pretty. It was never easy. But in Chip Kelly's first NFL season as head coach, the Eagles win the NFC East 10-6 on the season, 24-21 over the Dallas Cowboys. What a game that was clinched. Backs against the wall. All the Cowboys needed was to get a field goal, and Brandon Boykin makes the big play, the first play of the drive, intercepting Kyle Orton. What a win for the Eagles. Not an easy one, but a win nonetheless.
Playing to what you just said, Bo, survive and advance. It's exactly what the Eagles did. They won the division. They will play the Saints on Saturday night at 8:10. But the bottom line is, this game was up and down. This defense was resilient. Although Kyle Orton, who had played a phenomenal game tonight, made a terrible mistake, threw it behind Miles Austin, threw right to Brandon Boykin. He iced the game. This game was an absolute nail biter. The Eagles had the lead early. Punch, counterpunch, punch, counterpunch. But what did they do? We said at the top, win the turnover battle, and they did that tonight.
For the Cowboys, turn out the lights. The party is over. The ghost of Tony Romo returns for Kyle Orton. But we want to revisit that big play, and so we bring in the third man in our team, Ike Reese. He's going to break down the game that clinched the division for the Eagles.
Yeah, Bo, Adam, what a great play here by the Eagles defense coming up. Dallas with a potential game-winning drive that they could have here. And on the first play, you're going to see Billy Davis is not going to allow Kyle Orton to sit back here and pick this Eagles defense apart like he had done on previous drives. You see the guys up here, D'Amico Ryans, Connor Barwin, Michael Kendricks, they're all showing pressure on the inside. What you're going to get here is a zone blitz. Kyle Orton feels a little bit of the pressure inside here, wants to escape here. Look at the technique outside by Brandon Boykin. He's playing outside man, knowing that he's going to have inside help from these guys that are going to drop back into coverage. Kyle Orton reads the man-to-man coverage on the outside here, but what he doesn't read is that Brandon Boykin is going to allow Miles Austin to go to the inside again because he knows he has an extra defender in the inside for help. The throw is late. It's on the back shoulder. Brandon Boykin, with his eyes on the football, goes to make a play as opposed to batting the ball down, gets his sixth interception of the year, team-leading interception. This guy's been a big playmaker all year long. It's fitting that he makes the game-winning play that sends the Eagles into the 2014 playoffs.
Great stuff, Ike, breaking down the play of the season for the Eagles. So much to unwrap here on the post-game show presented by Rico with ESPN's Adam Kaplan. We will bring you Chip Kelly and Nick Foles' press conference live from AT&T Stadium. We're also taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170. Adam, let's talk about this game and how the offense really struggled a little bit. It was the Eagles' defense that won this game for them. One big drive from the Eagles, though, in the second half, a 60-yard drive, 11 plays, 9 runs. Finally, the Eagles got back to the run after going away from it for much of the game. What did you think of the offense tonight?
I thought that early on, I think the Cowboys kind of figured out some of the Eagles' typical plays. A screen game was taken away. Even when they would run the fly sweep or ghost motion, Cowboys knew it was coming. They kind of stopped it. But I thought the offensive line at times gave Nick Foles chances to throw the ball downfield. But overall, the Eagles had to feel fortunate they were up at halftime. They did have 17 points at halftime. They did not take advantage of some of the opportunities in the second half. However, like you said, when they needed to, they were able to score in the fourth quarter. The defense held its own. However, plays that they like to take back, the turnover by Nick Foles, unfortunate. These guys didn't really turn it over, and then they, unfortunately, you get a fourth and one, and you can't get it in. That was killer. I mean, that was killer. But in the end, when they had to do it, they got off the field. But Kyle Orton had the game of his life, just a tremendous football game, hung in there, but threw it behind Miles Austin. That would have been for a big play, Bo, but he threw it behind Austin and threw right to Boykin, and Boykin got the job done.
Cowboys defense did a great job getting pressure on Nick Foles. They controlled the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball. Nick Foles had happy feet at times. Still, he was 17 of 26 for 263 yards, 2 touchdowns. LeSean McCoy, even though the Eagles may not have, it didn't look like they were running the ball that much, he still got 27 carries for 131 yards. He's the best player on this offense. I was glad to see them really lean on him when that game was 17-16. They needed to drive down and get a touchdown. That was after a huge defensive stop by Connor Barwin knocking down that pass on fourth and one.
Fourth and one. I thought for sure they'd go to Murray there. Well, they went to Murray, but on a pass. But Barwin, who's got that great, great vertical leap, he knocked it down. But I think this is one of these games where you have the ebb and the flow and positives and negatives and ups and downs. And in the end, Eagles just scored enough points. I thought they would score over 30, but twice they had it first and goal at the six, and you got to convert there. But you saw the Bryce Brown run. We didn't even talk about that. A beautiful run where he cut it up on the side and took it in the end zone. That was good. That was an excellent drive there. But the defense, though, I totally agree with you. It's the story of the game. They hung in there. They were on the field for a lot here. The only thing they did not do tonight, this is something they're going to have to do when they face Drew Brees. They've got to figure out ways to get to the quarterback. They could not do it tonight. I thought the Dallas offensive line did a great job. A great play calling, short passing game. Orton really got it out quickly. He really negated the Eagles' pass rush.
This is not the kind of game that we have seen the Eagles win that often this season. When the offense struggles a little bit, the defense held them in. A little bit like the Arizona Cardinals game at Lincoln Financial Field. But seeing them overcome struggles offensively, the defense stepping up big, some big red zone stops, the big fourth and one stop. Mm. The defense, I think, is really who saved the bacon tonight. A huge game from Michael Kendricks, a forced fumble and an interception. Brandon Boykin with the big play. That 2012 draft class really coming up huge.
Yeah, and I know the overall numbers, you'll see Orton's numbers and say, boy, I guess, you know, they didn't get to him. Yeah, and they gave up yards. The Eagles give up yards every game, but they're so stingy in the red zone, and that's what happens. It's about not giving up points. It's not about yards. Yards don't really mean a lot if they don't score. But I think when you look at it, there were a couple times you would have hoped that the Eagles would run the ball more, and they didn't in the first half. But second half, they made much more of a commitment. I think that really helped wear down Dallas' defense.
So survive and advance, as you said, very quickly now. The Eagles need to turn the page and turn the switch because they have a date with the New Orleans Saints next Saturday night, 8:10 at Lincoln Financial Field. Get a full day of tailgating in, get the fans rowdy at Lincoln Financial Field for the Saints.
Sure.
We'll talk a little bit about that matchup after Chip Kelly's press conference, but early looking here, you've got Nick Foles against Drew Brees, two graduates of the same high school.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's awesome.
Broke all of Brees' high school records. Very interesting matchup against an explosive offense, a defense that took a blow with the loss of Kenny Vaccaro. So maybe the Eagles' offense can get back to what they've been doing most of the season.
Yeah, Roman Harper, the veteran who was supplanted by Vaccaro, that's why they drafted Vaccaro in the first round. Harper doesn't cover well at all. And, he's a smart player. His guy's near the end of his career, but Drew Brees is a great quarterback, but we know the Saints are not a good outdoor team, and that's where you kind of have to look at it. In fact, the Saints have never won on the road in the playoffs, so we'll see how that plays into this game.
We'll talk a little more about that matchup later. Mm-hmm. How about the big game tonight from Alex Henry hitting the 47-yard field goal, kicking kickoffs out of the end
tonight.
Zone?
Yeah.
Maybe the best game of his career, I would say.
Tremendous game by him tonight when they needed him. I mean, they needed every single point tonight, no question about it. Dwayne Harris, who's such a dangerous returner. I thought the coverage was excellent there on Harris. He had one decent return, but you see Henry there just knocking it through. And indoors, of course, you get a little bit of advantage. And special teams, again, getting the job done.
Al and Big D making big plays. For the Cowboys, the big thing was for the defense coming in, stopping Dez Bryant. And the Eagles defense did a great job of it all game long until 4th and 9 when the Cowboys were down 8 points. And they go to Dez Bryant, cover zero. We got the zero blitz.
Yep.
Patrick Chung misses the tackle. Dez Bryant runs in for the touchdown.
Yeah, you know, they would have had a first down, but you save the touchdown if he makes the tackle. It takes a wrong angle, and that's been the story of Patrick Chung this season. You got to do a better job there. But they did not get the two-point conversion. But Jason Witten, 82 there, just crushed them tonight. They just had no answer because Witten has got 6 inches on Kendricks, and it showed tonight. But I think, again, when they had to do it, they were able to get off the field. The defense opportunistic tonight. And listen, anytime you're on the road, Bo, and you win the turnover battle, you're probably going to win. And they did tonight. Orton, it's a shame. He played such a terrific game. But in the end, they got the
I don't think it's a shame. I'm fine
with it. I understand. No, I understand. But, boy, this is a survive and advance game. Jeez, this is obviously Eagle fans. You know, the pessimism, I get it. But they won. Bottom line is they won. Don't worry about it. They're going to play the Saints this Saturday night at home, where the Eagles have won 4 in a row, we'll see.
This is a new era. This is the Chip Kelly Eagles. From now on, we can expect to win these games. How about that?
And the Eagles are +6 over last season. 6 wins over last season. That's pretty strong.
Let's talk about
strong.
That big picture. What a turnaround from 4 wins last year to winning the division, going 7 of 8 to end the season. Unbelievable. What a turnaround.
Bo, I think when you look at it, I had them at 8-8. I thought that was very fair. In fact, probably a little bit too optimistic. I thought it when I was really looking at it, but man, the 6-2 on the road, this team. It's such a young football team.
What's the biggest surprise to you? Most impressive thing of the season?
I think that they don't get down on themselves. Remember in previous years under Andy Reid, especially the final 2 years under the Andy Reid regime, they'd blow a lead and they'd never come back. where they'd have a lead and they'd blow it and they get down themselves and they just go on a long losing streak. Not here, the resiliency of the players and the coaching staff to not worry about it. They put the one game behind them and they're going to have to do it here on a short week. This is just a test of character tonight because this is a knockdown, drag out. Whoever's got the last, has the ball last is going to win. The Eagles did, and they ran the clock out.
You mentioned it, a tough, quick turnaround to playing next Saturday night. The Eagles will fly back from Dallas tonight, get in probably around 4 a.m., and then they're going to have the short week ahead of Saturday. The league doing them no favors, but apparently they love seeing this Eagles team in prime time. But now we've got Chip Kelly, after the win, to the playoffs in his first season as the head coach.
I told those guys, I thought the first time I met them that it was a special group. You know, I can't tell you how much they've made this transition for me coming from college to the pros. It was those guys. Everything we asked them to do as a staff from the first day we got there on April 1st with them till tonight, you know, they've bought in. And, it's an awesome feeling when you can work as hard as they've worked and to see it pay off. And the results are, you know, you're 10-6 and you're division champs, and it's a real credit to those guys. They didn't flinch. That was a interesting fourth quarter, to say the least. But this group just keeps battling, and they just found a way. And we also told them that it's the same thing we say after every game. It's one down, one to go. You know, we're gonna play on Saturday, and we gotta get ready. We got a quick week. We gotta turn around and get ready to play a real good Saints team. So,
did you honestly, looking back, expect this to, you know, be the end result of the season? Can you honestly say
that? I expected us to win. I couldn't tell you. I don't put a number or whatever. I think we had that conversation early in the year, like how many numbers is it going to take and all those other things. But I expected this group to compete every day, and, that's what they did, and it paid off for them.
Is Boogie one of those guys that just makes big plays at big time? Or just some guys that do things like that?
It seems like it, but, you watch how hard he works in when we're in training sessions and his attention to detail and all of those things. And I think it's, the guy, it pays off. He made the play in the Redskins game. He made this play. So it's it seems like he comes up at a good time, which is a good thing for us. So.
Chip, what does it feel like? I know college, you won a lot of games. Emotionally, on the sidelines, late in that game in the fourth quarter for you.
You know, the one thing I try to get a feel for what our guys are like, and no one, there's not a sense of panic. It was, hey, this is what we got to do. You know, we didn't get it in on fourth and a half yard. All right, you know, what's next? A lot of time left in the game, a lot of football left. You know, let's continue to play. You know, the play Connor Barwin made on fourth down when they went for it, I thought was a huge play for us. Then our offense goes on the field and really puts a drive together, you know, to get us, you know, back up. And then they go down and score, and, you know, got to make a play. Kerry makes a huge play on the two-point play, you know, to put us up. But then we got to run the clock out. You know, didn't get it converted on third and five, but got some time off the clock. And then I thought Donnie's punt was huge. You know, gave us some breathing room there. And that's why it was everybody contributed. You know, and that's one thing about this team is it's a team, and everybody. You know, when you get your opportunity to make a play, the guys made plays. So.
It seemed like guys, a game like this, there was a lot of times where things didn't go right. Ugly, difficult times. What is it about this group that kind of gets through those moments? They've done it for the last couple of months.
I think they understand that, you know, in this game, it's not always going to go the way you planned. And I think, you know, that's the one thing that's the beauty of this game. You know, it's you can't script it. And it seems like every time someone tries to write the script, it doesn't turn out that way. But, you know, if you just keep plugging away, and I told them last night that all they had to do in this game was just they needed to be caught in the act of being themselves and just understand that they have everything they need to be successful. And there's going to be times in a game we're going to face some adversity, but, you know, dig deep, rely on the guy to the right of you the next year, and that you don't have to do everybody's job. You just have to do your job, and things will work out for you, and it did.
On that fourth quarter drive you guys had, I think you ran the ball like 9 times in 11 plays or something like that. How big was that? I mean, not only to score, obviously, but, you know, to drain the clock and everything.
It was huge, you know, and you're trying to do both. You know, we were trying to score in that situation, obviously, but if you can also work the clock a little bit, it was beneficial to us. And, we could sense, I think we feel like we're built for that in terms of how our conditioning and, we could sense they were wearing down a little bit. And then I thought our guys That last drive offensively, and that's what I think the key was. You know, special teams contributed at the end. That last drive offensively contributed. Our defense, you know, came up big, you know, on the 2-point stop and the other fourth down stop. So it was just one of those games.
You guys weren't able to keep Nick as clean as you have recently, maybe not since you all played this team before. Mm-hmm. But he seemed to really bounce back from it every time. Were you concerned about the amount of hits he was taking?
Yeah, you're always concerned when your quarterback gets hit. You know, a lot of times it was in a four-man rush, and they've got some guys, you know, Hatcher and Ware, you know, that can cause some problems in there. Two outstanding players, and but I will give Nick credit in terms of, you know, he did. There was a time there where we weren't really settled, but it didn't rattle him, and he made the plays when we had to make the plays.
Jimmy, if you're facing the caliber of D linemen that you faced lately, Chicago and the game for the Detroit, why do you think that Dallas was able to get a lot more pressure in? Causing him to be a little uncomfortable.
DeMarcus Ware is a really good player. You know, I would put him up there with some of those other guys in this league. Don't disrespect him. You know, and I think Jason Hatcher is, I felt all along that the season he's had, you know, and I think if you ask our players, you know, there's a lot of respect for them. So, I don't know, and nor do I care what's written about them. And you watch the tape, turn it on, those two guys can make plays, and they did today.
Can you explain you guys got down to the 6-yard line after McCoy and I think the solid pass, and then you had Brad Smith kind of that play, and then two plays down to the one. Can you explain that series there? What was your thinking of some of the plays you called?
Trying to score. You know, we thought we were going to be in man coverage down there. We had a throwback to the quarterback. If not, he just missed Ertz. Then we converted. It was second down. We missed it. On third down, we got Deshaun down to that half-yard line. You know, I knew they were going to be in man coverage. He ran a good route, just got stopped. They passed it off, and then felt like with the ball on the half-yard line, we got to be able to punch it in. So,
soon drive, you ran 9 of 11 times on mm-hmm. that drive. Was that a conscious decision, or was that just what they were giving you, and you felt like you could, pound it?
I just felt like that's what we needed at that time.
You mentioned Barlin's play. From your vantage point, on that play, did you expect them to pass, and what did you see them do?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people do that. We ran the same play. You're trying to slip the tailback out. They're lining them up in the eye like they're going to run the ball, and then they run a quick little naked and try to slide them into the flats. You know, we got LeSean in the flats for a touchdown, and then on the 3rd and 5, we didn't get LeSean. LeSean got knocked down, you know, so I thought it was a good call. You know, it's tough. You know, Connor's unblocked, but if he doesn't make that play, that thing's going for a while because DeMarco was open. So I thought it was a good call, but I just thought it was a great play by Connor Barwin at a real critical time for us.
Do you think Nick took another step forward today? He didn't throw an interception. He did really smart things all game long.
That's Nick. I mean, that we've grown accustomed to. So, but I think every game we grow from. You know, there's experiences that we can all gather from today and move forward and learn from. So,
plus Kendrick's forced 2 turnovers, led to 10 points. Best game, do you think, as an Eagle this season?
Sure.
I mean, it's vital to get ahead, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I didn't watch the tape, but yeah, I mean, he played great today. He's running around, making a million plays, and that's a Michael I've grown accustomed to, too. So,
plus two.
When's the next game? They're excited. I mean, they should be excited. You know, a lot of the guys that were here, we did change out a lot of the roster, but there's a lot of guys that were here, they were 4-12 last year. You know, and it didn't, listening to them talk, it didn't end well for them. You know, they had that streak at the end of the year where they still had a taste in their mouth and they wanted to change it. And that's why all the credit goes to them that they did. And they didn't change it by talking about it or saying it. And, you know, it's not that type of team. It's a type of team that just goes out and works on a daily basis. And, we still practice. And, you know, we're not walking through things. We're getting after it in practice, and these guys do that, and that's a credit to them. And the good thing is I think they still got a lot of football left in them, so we got to get ready to play a real good Saints team this Saturday coming in.
You had to cut out fourth quarter victories earlier this season. What was different about this one compared to those ones?
I don't think it was any different. It was a lot like the Redskins game, a lot like Green Bay game. You know, I think our defense contributed, our special teams contributed, and that last drive by the offense was big.
Thomas? Plus two in turnovers today, plus 18 in your 10 wins. I mean, obviously that's been a big part of your success this season, especially given this team last year mm-hmm. was like worst in the league. Mm-hmm.
It's a huge statistic, whether it's in college or pros, and we were very, very good at it when I was at Oregon, and it's the reason we won so many games is that our defense was very opportunistic. But our offense did a very, very good job of taking care of the football, and they did it again today. Besides the one, Nick got sacked and lost it. But you know, I think if you look at the numbers, and they're really striking. If you look at our 10 wins and what our plus-minus ratio is, and then our 6 losses, you know, you can directly look at it. But I think those two stats, the turnover takeaway stat and then the explosive play stat, and I think if you can do both, and I think we do that offensively. I know we'll get yelled at and people will talk about the time of possession deal again, but I think those two stats are a little bit more important than that one.
Foles, McCoy, and Jackson will be in this room at some point. We'll let you know.
All right, so there you have it. Chip Kelly, a little bit emotional at the beginning, talking about the amount that his team has bought in, the players have bought in from the beginning. His first season in the NFL, he goes from 4-12 to 10-6 and NFC East champions. All right, we're going to bring you press conferences live from Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, and LeSean McCoy. But first, we want Ike Reese to break down LeSean McCoy's breaking out the touchdowns, the start of the scoring for the Eagles.
Let's take a look at the Eagles' offense here in the red zone. They've become one of the better offensive teams in the red zone the second half of the season. Let's take a look at their first touchdown here. The reason why they're having a lot of success, in my opinion, is Chip Kelly has implemented a lot of misdirection in his offensive play calling. You're going to get the offensive line giving you a lot of flow here. You got, first of all, you got DeSean Jackson and Shady McCoy in the backfield. You get a play fake here, Shady over the top, Riley Cooper over the top. And once you get this play going, you're going to see where the Dallas Cowboys defense, they're in man-to-man coverage. This linebacker right here, his job is Shady McCoy. His eyes on Nick Foles right here. This allows Shady McCoy to outflank him. Easy pitch and catch, Foles to Shady for the first touchdown of the game for the Eagles to give them a 10-point lead.
All right, good stuff from Ike Reese. One of the unsung heroes who we haven't talked about yet, how about Donnie Jones? Donnie Longball, who should have been to the Pro Bowl, as you said at halftime. The Eagles offense, with a chance to salt the game away, goes 3-and-out. He punts it 56 yards to the Cowboys, only a 7-yard return from Dwayne Harris. The next play, Brandon Boykin makes the game-saving, game-winning interception. Donnie Jones, maybe the best free agent. I mean, you've got Connor Barwin and Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher.
He might be the best.
But how good is he?
From pillar to post, Bo, he's just been incredible. He's not had a bad game yet. Barwin has been tremendous.
Barwin's been great. He was so good tonight.
The deflection on the 4th-and-1 was tremendous. He's just really good at it. He's a great, really big-time athlete. But you kind of like it. Everyone's making contributions. I mean, Brad Smith, they signed him off the street. Playing very good in special teams coverage. Played a little bit at receiver tonight. Just one guy after another comes off the bench and does a great job here. And Boykin, as their nickel corner, he was called on tonight. They went after him. One adjustment they're going to have to make with the Eagles playing Jimmy Graham next week, they're going to have to do a better job of covering the tight end. Jason wouldn't destroy them tonight.
Hopefully Earl Wolf comes back.
Yeah, they're going to need him. Exactly right. He was inactive tonight.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Plenty more to come. You're going to hear from Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, and LeSean McCoy. We also want to hear your reaction to the Eagles going to the playoffs. We want your phone calls, 215-320-5170. Coming back with more right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Peppermint mocha for you and hot cocoa for you.
You've outdone yourself again.
The Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Show off.
Jealous?
Maybe.
Pick up peppermint mocha and hot cocoa flavored K-Cup packs only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Every month, Mr. Johnson goes to the drugstore and connects with a pharmacist to renew his arthritis medication, which means he can keep up with his granddaughter at her wedding. When older Pennsylvanians make the most of programs supported by the Pennsylvania Lottery, like prescription drug programs, we all benefit. Learn more at PALottery.com. The Pennsylvania Lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Accidentally locked my keys in my truck while stopping at Dunkin' Donuts.
So now I'm sitting in the bed of my truck, sipping a latte and smiling. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Enjoy a delicious latte the next time you stop at Dunkin'. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Bo Wolf and ESPN's Adam Kaplan back on the postgame show presented by Rico. Again, we will bring you the press conferences live from Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, and LeSean McCoy after the Eagles take out the Dallas Cowboys 24-22 by the skin of their teeth going to the playoffs, winning the NFC
exactly.
East. Adam, before we get back into the Eagles, since we have you here, I'd like to ask you a big picture NFL thing. Mm-hmm. Two firings already leaked, reported. Tomorrow is Black Monday, both sort of related to the Eagles. One, the Browns taking out Rob Chudzinski after 1 year.
That's official.
The same hiring cycle as the Eagles signed Chip Kelly. Yeah, they've already sent out that press release. Yep. And then reports out of Washington that the NFC East is losing another head coach. Mike Shanahan will be gone from D.C.
Yeah, that's expected to be tomorrow. And, you know, it's very interesting. The Eagles and the Browns were the two teams that were very hot after Chip Kelly. The Eagles thought in the beginning of the process that Chip was going to go to Cleveland. They wouldn't even get a chance to interview him. And my understanding was once they got him here, once they actually interviewed him out in Arizona, everything changed. Now, we know Chip changed his mind. He was going to go back to Oregon. Then he changed his mind and came back to the Eagles. When you and I and Fran Duffy were at East West Week.
Sure.
But the bottom line is they got their man, and you just see the transition this team has made. It's amazing in one season. Not only did they get six wins, both sides of the football, and special teams. How bad were special teams in 11 and 12? And the turnover margin is incredible. Bo, 75 turnovers in 11 and 12. Okay? It's just amazing. In 32 games, it's just amazing. The ball security. You got the quarterback who's healthy. Foles has been tremendous this season. And here we go. They won the division. They faced the Saints at home. The weather forecast for that game, low 20s, no wind. I already checked on it.
Beautiful. I tell you what is the biggest surprise to me. I had high expectations for the Eagles offense, knowing that they had all the offensive linemen coming back, knowing that you had one of the league's best running backs, knowing that you had two good quarterback options in Michael Vick and Nick Foles, and knowing that Chip Kelly was an offensive, as LeSean McCoy called him, a genius. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much tonight, only 24 points. But I don't think we I don't think anybody expected the defense to be so reliable. The defense is what won the game for the Eagles tonight.
Well, here's what they did. They put him in position. Okay, they did it. They did it about as well as they could against. Let's put it this way: an offense that's got a lot of options, a lot of weapons. They're very deep at tight end and wide receiver, and Murray's a good running back. And their line, that Dallas line, was tremendous tonight. But their game plan was great to negate the Eagles' pass rush. It was three-step, five-step ball out, and you saw it right there. That visual is great. They were not going to let Kyle Orton get touched because the Eagles, they ran a variety of blitzes, but Dallas picked them all up. And that's something now that facing the Saints that they're going to have to do. Drew Brees is a much shorter quarterback. He's 4 inches shorter than Orton, and he likes deeper drops. He likes to get that vision kind of like Russell Wilson because he can't see. He's only 6 foot, 1/2 inch. And that's going to be a challenge somehow to not give up the big plays because Jimmy Graham's coming to town, Colston. You got Darren Sproles, out of the backfield on those wheel routes. They're great at doing that. So it's a big challenge, but this is a tremendous victory. And I think the Eagles coming home where they've won four in a row, the home field is back here. There's no question about it, Lincoln Financial Field. And that is their third straight national TV game at night here. We'll see how they handle it.
NBC loving themselves some Eagles. Yes. Big picture, we talked about it in the kickoff show, 347 days since Chip Kelly was hired as the head coach of the Eagles. Looking back after just 1 year, what a home run hire.
It's amazing. It's amazing. They still have a lot of work to do. And I look at it, and I look at areas where they could improve. Obviously on defense, they don't have the big-time pass rusher. But the discipline in the red zone is just great. And when they have to do it, they hold the defense, the opposing offense, to field goals. I mean, you could give up 500 yards. It doesn't matter if you don't give up points. And that's the thing. It's like the same thing every week. They give up yards, but they don't give up points, and they keep themselves in the game. And the offense, though, you talked about the defense carrying them. The offense has got to get itself back in rhythm here because they were just kind of uneven tonight, which kind of surprised me.
We flashed up the Michael Kendricks graphic there. What a game from him. What a few games in a row for him. He's really emerging as a playmaker on defense. Chris Collinsworth was completely enamored of Michael Kendricks.
Oh, he was all over the place. And he's a tremendous blitzer. He's tremendously athletic. He's And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. The problem is, though, gets caught up in the wash because he's a shorter, not small, but he's shorter for an inside linebacker. You'd rather him be over 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2". He's not.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
I know, but he is what he is. I know.
He's getting off blocks fine. Did you watch the game?
No. Dude, I'm talking about, I'm talking about he can't hold Jason Witten. Jason Witten goes like that. He swats him.
We're talking about one of the best tight ends of all time.
Yeah, but they had no answer for him. And Jimmy Graham, who's 6'6".
No question about it.
Saw the Senior Bowl in 2010. It was unbelievable. They're going to have a challenge here because this guy is a freak.
He's the best tight end in football.
Yeah,
he's one of the best players in football.
He's a former basketball player. So we'll see. Billy Davis is doing a great job. When you talk about assistant coaches of the year, this guy's done a great job, and he'll come up with a great game plan, I'm sure.
On offense, the Eagles against the Saints, they've got, as we said before, the Saints taking a step back here after they've lost Kenny Vaccaro, their stud rookie safety. Mm-hmm. Again, the Eagles should have some room to run.
Yeah, and Jabari Greer, one of the starting corners, is out for the season due to an ACL. Their two starting outside linebackers were lost before the season. They've got a challenger. Rob Ryan's done a great job as their D coordinator. I'll tell you what, he's done a great job. He's getting the most out of the talent that he's been given. This is going to be a big challenge here on both sides of the football.
Got to cut you off. The quarterback himself, Nick Foles, at the podium.
That you played tonight, especially mentally and as a leader, it seemed that your team was coming undone a little bit in the second half. And two or three guys have said, we looked to him and he was the guy to look to.
I mean, when you play quarterback, I've always believed, since I played this as a kid, that's why I play this. In times of, adversity, they're going to look to the quarterback to see how he's reacting. And, there's going to be adversity in games. We overcame it today as a team. And, it was an exciting game to win. I had a blast out there. Defense was coming up big. Special teams played a really good ball. And, offense, we were able to put some points on the board. So, just in those times of adversity, the game's not over. There's still time on the clock. That's how I've always looked at it. Is I'm going to play till that clock says zero, and I'm going to play as hard as I can, and I'm not going to let one play unravel me or anything. There's going to be things that happen, but, you got to keep playing.
I know you said you didn't care leading up to the week that Dallas had your number in the first time. You didn't focus on that. But the way they played them, the way it came out, do you think that they felt that they were going to hit you around and try to force that same type of game?
I mean, I think that's probably what their goal was, but we've grown as a team since then. And, we were still figuring out our identity. And, we didn't execute on offense the first time around. And I felt like we executed. I mean, they played a great game. They played a great game. Kyle Orton stepped in and did a great job for them. And their defense played some hard football. And but we were able to put some points on the board and made some big plays as a team.
What does this mean for you guys, especially the ones who were here last year going 4-12, to come back the way you have and win the division title?
I mean, it's exciting. It just shows you that, I think Chip's done a great job. The coaching staff's done a great job. The players have done a great job of really buying in. And, when adversity happens throughout games, I know I've talked about before, guys really stay together. We lean on each other. If we go 3-and-out or something, defense is right there to say, we got you. I fumble the ball. First thing the defense says, D'Amico says, we got you. We got you. And that's what a team is. It's about having each other's backs and playing for each other, until the whistle blows. And, when you're playing for each other, you can get through those adverse times.
I think this game is a pretty good example of, compared to the last Cowboys game, of how much you've progressed since then individually, especially in terms of poise.
Definitely grown since then. I didn't play a good game. I know everybody wants to stress that, but I just didn't play a good game that day. And, it's exciting to get this win in Dallas and, put that behind me. I put it behind me a long time ago. But, I think it just shows that our team's grown. I've grown as a player, and I'm going to continue to grow. I still have a lot of work to do. I still have a lot of flaws in my game. I still have a lot of, things to correct. But, that's why I love this game. There's going to be something to work on as long as I play this game. And, I enjoy working at it.
Do you feel – how does this team get from 3-5 to 10-6 to the
I think that we just believed in each other the whole time, and we knew that it was a process. And when you're building something, when you're building a company, when you're building a team, when you're building anything, you have to realize it's a process. There's going to be growing pains. You're going to have moments where it looks great, and then you're going to have moments where it's not doing so good. But it's during those times that you stick together, that you keep the path, you keep believing in what you're doing, and you adjust. You have to make adjustments. Players as well as coaches adjust every day You know, if we get beat throughout a game, we're going to make corrections on it. We're going to move forward. We're going to make sure that we are better the next week. And the guys did a great job coming to work every single day and pushing each other. There wasn't a day where we sort of, you know, sat back and just went through the motions. We were, you know, we push each other to get better, and we have to continue to do that. Just because, you know, we won the NFC East title doesn't mean that, you know, we can just coast. We got to keep working and keep progressing each and every day.
Because well, Nick, like Nick the veteran. And you got, I don't want to use the word beat up, but there was a lot of pressure. How does a quarterback, and you, in this case you, pick yourself up after all that pressure and continue to know that you had to drive him down the field, and late in the game you did?
I believe in my teammates. I'm playing, when I'm out there playing, I'm playing for my teammates. I'm playing for my coaches. And I know that, you know, guys, we're going to learn throughout the whole thing. You know, if there is pressure, the O-line's going to take it upon themselves to stop the pressure. And they're going to, I know they're fighting each and every down for me. And they do a great job. We have a great O-line. You know, I love them to death. They're tremendous. And we believe in each other. And I think belief in each other and playing for each other really is the key to a team. Because, as I said, I was saying before, is during adversity, you want that guy next to you, you know, to be your brother, to have your back. You don't want him to, you know, go the other way, and you don't have him there. So, I love my teammates, this organization, and it's a great place to play.
What did it feel like to play, and what really was a playoff game for you for the first time?
I mean, it was definitely the atmosphere was, you know, crazy. I mean, we had a lot of Eagles fans here, which was exciting to see. And it's a big stadium. It's a loud stadium. But I think the key when you're playing these games is you just got to zone it out because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's dancers everywhere. There's video screens. You know, there's everything. It's a show. And I think just as a player, you just learn to zone that out. You just learn to feel the game and don't see anything else when you're out there. And, you know, that's the key. You can't let the noise and everything distract you because you know what play is called. You know what defense they're in, and we have to execute. So I think the guys did a great job today of really just zoning everything out and just focus on what we had to do on the field.
Nick, of all the quarterbacks to face in your first playoff game, it's going to be Drew Brees. Went to your high school, you broke his records. Is that significant at all? Are you special in a way, interesting?
I mean, I think it just shows you that, you know, life's crazy. You never know what's going to happen. I've definitely watched Drew since I was younger. You grew up in Westlake, you know who Drew Brees is. And he's had a tremendous career at Westlake, at Purdue, and you know in the NFL he's a role model to so many, and I've looked up to him. You know, I'm 10 years younger than him. He's done a tremendous job, and you know there is that to it. But when it's like zoning stuff out, you know, you zone out everything. I'm focusing on their defense. You know, it's like last week y'all asked me about Tony Romo. Drew's not going to be out there on defense. You know, he's going to be on the other side of the ball. So I really got to focus on their defense and our defense will focus on their offense. But, you know, it is special. It's a lot of credit to Westlake. That's where we're from. And I'm proud to be from Westlake. You know, great coaches, great people. I had great teammates there that helped me be to where I am right now, and I'm thankful for them each and every day.
The feeling in the huddle.
Of your passing stats that you compiled this year, of your passing stats, what are you the most proud of? You have a huge rating, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. What are you, now that the regular season's complete, what are you most satisfied with?
I'm proud of us winning as a team. You know, the passing stats, I don't really look at. Obviously, you know, you see what they are and stuff, but I'm just proud that we figured out a way to win games. I don't stress too much about them. You want to have more touchdowns and interceptions. That's a huge thing, keeping ball out of harm's way. But the only stat that really matters to me is wins and losses, and I think the guys have done a great job of, you know, focusing on that and not individual goals. And that's the key to a team as well, is, you know, it's about the team. It's not about an individual.
Were you trying to keep the clock running on that, I guess, that 3rd-and-5 rollout where you just, I think Shady, you just slid?
At that time, you really just, there's nothing open. I didn't have a good throwing lane. And the only thing you can really do right there is, I mean, running out of bounds stops the clock. So I just want to run the clock down and I just felt like it was the smart decision.
What was it? Talk about adjustments. How much different is this offense you took out there today than the one early in the season that they're putting in?
I mean, we have similar things. We've definitely grown and we've added stuff, just as every team in the NFL adds stuff throughout a season, because those guys that you're playing against are pretty darn good players, and they play in the NFL too, so they're watching the film and they're going to have adjustments. So you have to have adjustments. So it's an offense that's grown day to day, but I think the big thing as a team is you. you grow with your teammates. I've grown with feeling my receivers, feeling the O-line, the running backs, and, you know, we've bonded together. And that's huge. You're playing with your guys out there. You want to have a great, you know, relationship with each and every one of them.
If you look at the point you are now, what does it say about you and what you've done?
I've done my job. My job is to be a quarterback for this organization, and in doing so, it's, you know, the team's the most important thing. And it's in a situation where adversity happens and, you know, people look to me, I got to stay strong. I'm a quarterback, and that's what we have to do because we have to keep playing. The ball's in our hands each and every play, so it's really our decision where it goes. We have to execute the play, so we can't get rattled. There's going to be times where we're hit. There's going to be times where I throw interceptions. There's going to be times where I fumble a ball, but I know my teammates got my back in those situations. You know, first thing the defense says, like I said, we got you. And that's huge. You know, when you're out there playing, the guy says he got you, you know, all right. And they, what was it, a field goal? I mean, that's a huge play right there by them. When I made a mistake and I fumbled and they got my back and held them to a field goal. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Adam, what a season for Nick Foles coming into this season. Of course, he lost the starting quarterback battle in preseason to Michael Vick. Then he comes in and he becomes the first player in NFL history to have over 20 touchdown passes and two fewer interceptions. He sets the NFL record for touchdown interception ratio. He finishes the season as the league leader in passer rating and the third highest single season passer rating in NFL history. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us saw this coming. What a season for Nick Foles.
No, but he had some good traits last season. I thought what happened was his arm might have gotten a little tired. I thought he struggled a little bit at the end of the season. But I think he learned from it. But the offense has completely changed. It's no longer the 5- and 7-step drop, wait till someone gets open offense. It's 3 and 5 and every once in a while 7, but throw with timing and anticipation. He's awesome at that. That he's got rare anticipation skills for such a young quarterback, but you have to look at the overall picture of decision-making. And he's also being coached very well. You can't take that away from him. I think the coaches have done a great job of helping him understand what this offense is about. And the multiple formations, I think, really help him. The tight ends. The running game, where they stick with the running game, that helps. I mean, it helps because when you get balance, it's hard for a defense to kind of key on you. So I think overall, everything around him has been great. The offensive line, for the most part, has been tremendous. I thought the Cowboys tonight, I thought they handled themselves very well. They gave the Eagles' offensive line a hard time. There's no question about that. But what they did tonight is the Eagles won the turnover battle. The quarterback, Nick Foles, didn't turn over but the one time. And overall, they survived and they advanced just barely. You heard in Chip's press conference, he admitted it. I mean, you could just tell. He knew that they just escaped. But I thought Nick Foles was great in his press conference. He knows he could have done better. But he's very matter of fact, and he admits, hey, I got a long way to go. And that's what you got to be as a starting quarterback.
I love that video of the celebratory Eagles on the field. I'm so happy. We're so happy for guys like Todd Harriman and Trent Cole who have been here through the rough
and
seasons of the last couple of years. And now they get rewarded for sticking with the program, getting that NFC East title. For Nick Foles, what is the future? Where does he go from here? Where does he get better?
Well, I think tonight you saw it. Every once in a while, he holds on to the ball too long. He's got to play with that clock in his head. When it hits 5 seconds, the ball's got to be out. If it's not, he's going to get hit. And he did. And he had the fumble. The other thing is, he's got to get the tight ends of the ball when he sees them over the middle. That's a short area where the tight ends are open. He's not always getting rid of it.
All right, we take a quick commercial break now here on the postgame show presented by Rico. On the other side, taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170, and we'll also get a peek inside the celebratory NFC East Championship locker room after the game.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Oh, come on!
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Back on the post-game show presented by Rinko, Bo Wolf and ESPN's Adam Kaplan. We'll bring in Ike Reese a little bit here on the NFC East champion, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And Adam, speaking of the championship, let's take a peek, a little snippet of Chip Kelly addressing his team in the locker room after the game. The guys already wearing their swag, the NFC East shirts and hats. Great to see from Chip as the Eagles now turn the page on a short week before next Saturday night, 8:10 at Lincoln Financial Field. They take on the New Orleans Saints. We also actually know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but if they were to win that game, they would play the Carolina Panthers the following Sunday.
Correct.
At 1 o'clock. So
correct.
Good stuff there from the Eagles. Let's get to the phone lines now. Our first caller of the day, or the evening, as it were, or I guess the early morning now that it's
correct,
past midnight.
Eastern time.
Glenn from Florida starts us off. How are you, Glenn?
Hey, I'm doing actually, I'm feeling great. I want to ask you two questions. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, I asked Padaro about 22 making the Pro Bowl, Brandon Boykin. And I was just wondering, is all the selections in and it's over? We only got two guys in?
That's true. The Pro Bowl selections have been in. It's only LeSean McCoy and Jason Peters. The Eagles got jobbed a little bit. Brandon Boykin did finish tied for second in the league with 6 interceptions. He's also an outstanding special teams player, one of the best gunners in the league. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can make a case for him, but the Pro Bowl is sort of silly. You only get nominated once you've already become a household name. It's not the most forward-thinking thing.
Let's put it this way. If you look at 3-4 to DNs, Cedric Thornton's got to make it. I mean, the guy's been tremendous. You won't find many better 3-4 DNs in the league, but unless you live in Philly, you probably know nothing about him.
What's your second question, Glenn?
My second question is, on the play when the Cowboys scored, you know, you give up the first down, I get that, and you're in man coverage. Why is there no one back there between the 20-yard line and the goal line to stop it from being a touchdown?
Well, that's what happens when you blitz. They went cover zero, and Patrick Chung's got to make the tackle.
Got to get home. Right, and also, if you don't get home, you know, as Bo's saying, the safety, the only person there has got to wrap up, and Chung took the wrong angle, and he missed. Simple as that.
All right, 215-320-5170, taking your phone calls again. Adam, how about the fourth and goal decision from the Eagles? We haven't talked about that yet. What'd you think of that play?
Well, you know, a quarterback sneak, Nick Foles is 6'5 or 6'6. You would
He's
hope
he
get
would there.
Get that. He's got to get home. I don't have a problem with it. I know you and I talked about maybe Shady. That's fine. But I really don't have a problem with it. But here's what I have a problem with. First and goal at the 6, when you're just running down their throats and you have 3 throws. Then, of course, one of them's a crazy, crazy play.
It was open.
But he couldn't see. He could see him. And in the replay, it was clear that he had a hand in his face.
All right.
So there you go.
All right. That's fair. Andrew from Virginia joins us now. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, well, hi, Adam. How's
What's up, man?
I hope you're in a good mood.
Oh, my gosh. It's been so long. It has been so long that I'm waiting. First, let me give you a cheer. E-A-G-L-E-S.
There you go.
Let's go, baby. It's been so long. It feels so good. How are you fellas doing?
We're doing great.
Oh, my. So, first of all, Michael Kendricks, I got to give it to him. He's played a hell of a game tonight. It has been so great.
I like the bell. I love it.
I give this game ball to Michael Kendricks and Brandon Boykins for tonight.
Well, what does that tell you about last year's draft class? Fletcher Cox, outstanding as well. That's sort of the foundation, that last year's draft class, this year's draft class. So not only are the Eagles going to the playoffs this year, but I think you can see the brightness of the future as this roster begins. I didn't even mention last year's draft class. How about the league's leading passer,
number
Nick
nine,
Foles?
Nick
How about
Foles,
that?
That's right. Who was kind of the surprise of the draft class, let's be honest about it.
Well, you know what? Our future is so bright. Our team is so young right now. I mean, our oldest players right now on defense is like Trent Cole. And when is the last time we see Trent Cole turn it on this late in the season? I mean, every year Trent Cole has been on early in the season and fall off later on. It's really Chip Kelly's his really specimen of getting our team ready later in the season. I mean, Trent Cole, this is the first time this late in the season I've really seen him produce. And I mean, you know, I didn't expect anything this close to our defense. Our Donnie Longball and our defense really won a game for us this year. Well, this game, I did not expect the offense to be shut down this much again, but our defense really pulled through.
Andrew, thank you for the call, and you're absolutely right about Trent Cole. He's talked about it himself. He has felt worn down in past seasons. This year, he feels great. It's part of the sports science stuff. 8 sacks in the second half of the season after none in the first half of the season. He's been a big-time turnaround for this Eagles defense, and also, as he's always been, outstanding against the run.
Yeah, one someone who knows Chip very well and totally understands the program here said the conditioning of this football team is the best in the National Football League, and that matters. Especially on defense, because of time of possession, the defense is on the field for way more than the offense is. You better be in great condition. I think Trent Cole's a testament to that. At 31 years old, he is playing out of his mind right now. He also had some good pressures tonight, but they're going to have to change it up against Drew Brees because this is believe it or not, a much tougher task.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. Jeff from Pennsylvania. Jeff, congratulations.
Hello,
Jeff or Justin.
Justin, yeah. I was just calling about the 4th and 1 on the goal line.
Yep.
Great call. You know what? It just didn't happen. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think we all expected that call. They're so short to go. Nick Foles is a big guy. You would expect them to get that. They just weren't getting push up front in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it was the 1st and goal at the 6, three straight throws, which bothered me a little bit.
All right.
You know what? I was watching it. Expected run. So, I mean, the Cowboys probably expected run. So, it didn't really matter to me.
But they couldn't stop it. I mean, the Eagles ran right down the throat.
But did the Cowboys score on that anyway? No. It turned out to be...
Yeah, they got stopped. They got stopped
on 4th and 1. They got the touchdown anyway, so it didn't matter. So.
Well, fair enough. Good stuff, Justin. How do you feel about the Saints?
I would rather play the Saints in Philly than in Nollins, you know?
Ain't that the truth? All right, thanks for the call, Justin. As you said, Adam, as you broke on Twitter, you are the breaking story guru. The early forecast, 20 degrees.
Low 20s, no wind, 10% precipitation. The game's at 8:10 Eastern. And, you know, the Saints, listen, they're not the same outdoors. I mean, history shows they've never won on the road in the playoffs outdoors. It's just it's amazing to me. But Drew Brees is a tremendous quarterback. You could throw all those stats out. The bottom line is it's Drew Brees. It's that offense. The Eagles have to do a better job of getting the quarterback. Tonight they did not do it. This is a tougher task. You've got Jimmy Graham, the NFL's best tight end. You've got Darren Sproles, who's an outstanding running back out of the backfield. Pierre Thomas is their starting running back, who's a good football player. Marcus Colston. Kenny Stills has been great for them, the rookie out of Oklahoma. This is going to be a big-time challenge for the Eagles defense.
All right, back to the phone lines to the man who is usually our first caller of the night. He is slacking, C. Lee from Virginia. What's the deal? Man?
What's up, boys? I was trying to get in, but as you know, it was a tough time to get through tonight with the big win.
I'm a little disappointed in you, I got to say.
Hey, you know what? I had it usually, it cuts off at about 5 minutes, and at about 4:45, I knew I probably should have hung up and tried again. But I'm ready to roll. There's a couple guys on the list off. Chip Kelly, Nick Foles, Angry Bird, Brandon Boykin, Brent Celek, Zachary Shinikoi, a guy behind the scenes, Fran Duffy all year long with the show, Game Plan, Eagle Eye.
Amen. Big ups to the Duff man.
Yes, man. I'm ready to roll. Hey, sometimes you could just win. It was a tough win, but I'm glad we're in the post game. We're in the playoffs, and let's see what we're doing.
Seeley, what did you expect going into this season? Is this beyond your wildest dreams?
I mean, hey, man, after the past couple of years, you didn't know what to expect. I mean, with Chip Kelly, I love the guy. I mean, I liked Andy Reid, but there's something about Chip Kelly. There's a swagger, you could say. There's something about him that you just
you love about them. And, hey, I mean, this is beyond my wildest dreams. And sometimes you got to get hot at the right time, get the defense going, if we offense, you know, if we can get less penalties as we did, you never know what can happen, man. We're in, and you never know what can happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I agree with you. Thanks for the call,
Siri. Hey, you guys have a good new year, and let's go Birds,
you too,
baby.
Man. There you go. Absolutely. What a great new year it will
where's
be.
Where's the Zomster, man? Come on. Where's the Zomster?
Where is the Zomster? APB after the Zomster. Yeah. You know, he's been slacking a little bit this season. I think
he calls David Eye on Tuesdays, though, on Eagles Live.
Well, that's not good enough. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You know what, Adam? We're going to thank you
thank
for
you.
Your service. Thank
All
you
right.
so much. We're going to bring
Saturday
in
night.
Ike Reese. What's your early prediction?
Oh, boy. It's a tougher challenge. But this game's at home where the Eagles have won 4 in a row. I got to think about that. Maybe I'll give it Tuesday on Eagles Live.
Nice tease.
Yes.
Nice tease. That's why you are the man. ESPN's Adam Kaplan. Thanks for joining us. Back with Ike Reese on the other side right here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Still taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Let's go!
Ah. Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more champ! One more champ! Let's go!
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
All right, back on the postgame show presented by Rico. Out is Adam Kaplan. In is our man, Ike Reese. Ike, your reaction to the NFC East champion Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, excited like everyone. You know, a little tougher game than I had anticipated. You know, I honestly thought that there was no way the Dallas defense could come up with a game plan to slow down this Eagles offense. But you got to tip your hat to the Dallas Cowboys. They came ready to play. It was the divisional game for a chance to get in the playoffs. But the Eagles withstood, you know, some adversity throughout the game and were able to execute late in the game and pull it out. Great team win.
Coming into this season, is this beyond what you could have possibly expected from Chip Kelly's first season?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, they far exceeded my expectations. I thought they would struggle to get to 6 or 7 wins this year just because I thought it would take a little while to get his system implemented, sure. You know, get acclimated to the NFL style of play, the players buying in. But They've all bought in early. They had success, you know, the opening game of the season. Then they had a few bumps in the roads there, but they found their way. The quarterback play, it was out of this world. That's the biggest surprise from this year. I don't think without Nick Foles and the way that he's played this year, the Eagles wouldn't be here, because I'm not sure Michael Vick could have put up the same type of numbers. Not even the numbers so much, but the way Nick Foles carried himself through football games, taking care of the football, not making decisions that would hurt the team. You know, it's really beyond my wildest imagination that he could play this well in his first full year. Well, not even a full year, what, 10 games?
Right.
10 games as a starter this year. He's been remarkable.
I think that's exactly right. I think that's the big difference here. You know, coming into this season, everybody expected that Chip Kelly wanted the guy who was a little bit mobile, who could give him that extra dimension in the running game. And that's probably true in an ideal world. But what he really needs is a guy who can control the offense, take what the defense gives them, and make those right decisions. 27 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. That's unreal. I mean, that's never been done before.
No, that's, I mean, you just don't do that at this level, you know, to have that type of composure, to have the wherewithal to not try to rely too much on your abilities by trying to force balls into places you shouldn't force balls. I mean, to be that adapted playing at this high level so early in his career is a huge surprise to everyone. I mean, to everyone, his teammates, his coaches. We all thought he had some talent, but I mean, this year, he should be in the Pro Bowl. He's playing,
no
in my opinion, just as well as any quarterback in this league. And, you know, I think a lot of the success of this team is attributed to his play, just like it is in all 31 other cities that have an NFL team. A lot of your success is going to be predicated on how well your quarterback plays and whether or not he can stay healthy. And since Nick Foles was given the starting job, he's been nothing but exceptional.
And when you have the league's highest rated passer, you get to go to the playoffs. You get to win.
No doubt about it.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. Chris from Texas, what's up?
How are you, man?
Doing great. Very excited. How you doing?
I'm good. And I agree with everything you just said. I think with Chip's offense, what you're looking at with the quarterback is that he wants a guy to be the best point guard that he can be. He doesn't care who's open. It's just whoever's open.
Yeah.
Throw the ball, go ahead, move the chains. It doesn't matter who you're throwing to. This isn't partial. You know, go ahead and make it happen. He doesn't care who it is. Don't turn the ball over. Just be the best point guard you can be.
Yeah.
Distribute the ball and give it to your playmakers and move the chains. And score some points in the process, obviously. But he wants his quarterback to be the best
point guard. Yeah, no, yeah. I got you. You're exactly right. I mean, you know, honestly, that's typically the downfall for a lot of quarterbacks in this league with a ton of talent. They rely too much on that talent to make plays as opposed to allowing the systems or the schemes to make the plays for them. And in this offense, I think we've all found out that if you just get the ball out of your hands and get the ball in the hands of your playmakers and let them do the work, you'll come out smelling like roses. And that's what Nick has been able to do this year. He takes what the defense is giving him. He doesn't try to force plays. And, you know, that keeps you in the ball game. If you don't turn the ball over, Bo, you're going to have a chance in the fourth quarter. Typically what beats teams in this league is sloppy football play, turning the football over, giving your opponent extra possessions. And this team just doesn't do that. They do not turn the ball over.
And the flip side of that is the defense has done a great job turning opposing offenses over, which they did twice tonight. All right, we're going to send it back to AT&T Stadium, our own Chris McPherson, with one of the stars of the game on defense, cornerback Kerry Williams.
Two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. Chance to tie the game. Mm-hmm. You, Dez Bryant, one-on-one. Take us through the play and how you're able to break it up.
It's mano a mano, man. You know, it was the biggest play of the game, in my opinion. And, you know, those guys are very talented in the red zone. Kind of knew what was coming. I think everybody in the building knew what was coming. They was going to get the ball to Dez as best they could. And they tried to run a stop fade, and the ball was short and, you know, low, whatever. And I just made a great play on the ball.
You guys manned up against them, limited the yards after the catch all game long. What was the secret? What was the key in being so effective in that?
Just fundamentals, sticking to that, understanding that, you know, you have to stay in front, stay square whenever you're in the press technique, moving our feet, using our eyes, and, you know, just going out there and competing to the end of the play.
Two-point game, very last drive. You guys are counted upon to deliver the division title, and your man Brandon comes through with the interception. Just what was your reaction when you saw it happen?
I was covering my guy first, and then I just heard the crowd erupt, and it was only a small amount of cheers, so I knew we did something good. And I looked back, and Boyk had the ball, and the crowd was on him, whatever, and, you know, I was excited, man. I just ran straight to the sideline. We got the victory, and, you know, we still got work to do, you know. It's a great win. We did what we were supposed to do. Now we have to move on. It's playoff time, and the game's just that more intense.
You came here as one of the big free agents. What does it mean that in a year that you're part of a team that went 4-12 in a first-year head coach and you win the division title?
It's huge, man. It's huge. You know, I don't know. My expectations wasn't necessarily that high anyway. You know, I just trying to play the best I possibly can. I knew we had talent, and, you know, I didn't know what was going on last year, so you only go up what was here. And, you know, I just – When we first got in here, man, I just knew the work we put in, people's work ethic, people's hard work, and dedication to this organization, man, it just showed up. And, you know, now, you know, 17 weeks from now, you know, we're looking at it, and we are where we are. You know, we still have to continue to press toward the mark. We got a Super Bowl on our mind, and right now we got a Saturday night game. So as far as I'm concerned, this win is great. It's tremendous. You know, we're the NFC East champs, and that's great, but we got work to do.
Kerry Williams, a happy cornerback after the Baltimore Ravens cast him aside. He goes to the playoffs. His former team does not. So a happy Kerry Williams, although not that happy. Kerry Williams
well,
is never that happy.
You never can tell with Kerry.
That's right.
Great play he made on that two-point conversion.
Great play. And great play by Barwin there as well. All right, back to the phone lines we go. John from Connecticut wants to talk about how much the Eagles have exceeded his pre-2013 expectations. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First, I just want to say, Ike, it's a privilege to talk to a guy who bleeds Eagle Green that I rooted for so long.
Oh, I appreciate that, John. Thank you.
But I actually had two things. One was more of a comment. The beginning of the year, I got to be honest, I was not a big fan of the Chip Kelly hiring at the beginning. I was really hoping for one of the Gruden brothers.
And why was that?
Just because I didn't think that it would translate over, but I got to say, In his first interview on Eagles.com and that he had with Philadelphia, I mean, the guy won me over with his preaching of team and we as opposed to I. And I just think that's an attitude that's really transcended this team. And I think it's evident in when you hear Nick Foles speak. And I actually had one other thing to ask you guys about what you felt about Nick Foles and the criticism of Chris Collinsworth. I'm not sure if you guys watched the game on the same broadcast that we do, but Chris Collinsworth kept talking about that Nick Foles, when he gets blitzed, he puts his eyes down, and I just don't feel that way. I don't know how you say that about a guy that throws 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. I don't think he's playing with his eyes down on the ground.
Well, thanks for the call, John, and go ahead.
Yeah, I'll start with the second question first. He doesn't do it very often. Now, he like every quarterback, if you hit him enough, they're going to start watching the rush, but you're talking about a quarterback who's in the top three in quarterback rating versus the blitz this year.
Right.
He does a fantastic job versus the blitz. But there are times where, you know, he will watch the rush and, you know, he won't get rid of the football. But I happen to think in his young career, this is a good trait, because if he doesn't feel comfortable releasing the ball at a certain point, why release it?
Right.
You know, and this is why he doesn't have very many turnovers. He would rather take a sack then turn the football over. And believe it or not, there are some good sacks that you need to take as a quarterback in this league, as opposed to forcing throws just to make a play. And that's a great trait that Nick Foles has at this early in his career. Believe me, as he gets more acclimated to playing, gets more games under his belt, he'll take a few more chances with throws. But right now, his job is to make sure he doesn't cost his team ball games and make the plays when they need to be made. And that's what he's done all year. And to your first question about, or his first point about Chip and exceeding expectations, don't feel bad, John. I was in the same boat. You know, I was just a little skeptical. I didn't know whether or not what Chip Kelly had to offer as a coach would translate at the NFL level. But I tell you, it didn't take me long. Before we made it through training camp, you could see. You could see how what he did at Oregon was going to be able to translate. Now, he's had to tinker with it a little bit throughout the season. He's not calling plays as rapidly as he was in that first game against Washington, because he knows he doesn't have 100 players
right
at his disposal. but he's still finding a way to move the ball at a fast enough tempo that it keeps defenses off balance, and he gets enough possessions in the game where he can put up points per game.
What stood out to me so much when Jeffrey Lurie introduced Chip Kelly as the head coach was that we heard so much about Chip Kelly's offense coming from Oregon, all the points they put up, all the rushing yards they put up. But Jeffrey Lurie said the reason that he was so enamored of Chip Kelly was not his offense, not his play calling, but his ability as a program builder. And that's what you've seen come in here, the sports science stuff, the practice changes, the way they travel, so many different changes, the way he's built this team together and the way, as Chip Kelly said, the players have bought in from the beginning. I think that's what you've seen, and I think that's why I think the future is so bright here.
Yeah, and that's not as simple as it sounds. You know, I've been retired for 7 years, so I can't officially say I'm from the old school era right. of playing football. But with the way the game is today, it really is an old school era of football where nutrition is a big part of your training, your diet, all those things, what you put into your body on a day-to-day basis, how much time, how much rest are you getting each and every night. These are things that analytics are being brought into the game of football that wasn't here 5 years ago, and it certainly has a place. What, you know, Chip Kelly has brought the why to the table, you know, meaning that he's giving you an answer to why we're doing everything. There's a right. reason behind everything he's doing. And it's worked out for this team. They bought into it. They look like a stronger, fresher team than most of the other teams they faced late in the year.
As a longtime veteran, what can you say about guys like Trent Cole and Brent Celek and Todd Harrimans, who were here through the Andy Reid era and were so open-minded to buy in right away?
Oh, those are the most critical guys. You know, I was here. I got drafted into Ray Rose. Andy came in. If you don't have veterans buying in when a new coach comes in, it's going to be difficult to get the other young guys in the locker room. And we had guys like Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, guys like that, that were veterans in this league, true professionals, that when Andy came in, they bought into his new program. It was much different than Ray's, so the younger guys bought into it. And that's the same thing that's happening here. You get guys like Vic, like Brent Celek, like Trent Cole, Todd Harrimans, Jason Peters, those guys that have done it and had success for years doing it another way. Buying in the Chip system, it's a much easier for the younger players to buy in when they see 7 year, 8 year veterans buying into it. When the veterans don't buy in, that's a much more difficult job for the head coach who's coming in trying to change a culture.
Absolutely. All right, back to the phone lines we go. Danny from Delaware. What's up, Danny?
How you doing, sir?
Doing great.
Hey, Danny.
Good, good. I think a lot of people speak about the offense, but we forget the emergence of the defense and the emergence of guys like Michael Kendricks. I mean, his 12 tackles, the one sack, I mean, one interception and one forced fumble. I mean, it's amazing. Now, this defense is bends a lot more than what you would want it to. But I think Billy Davis has done an amazing job, you know. And I think a lot of us were scared in the preseason when we saw them, you know, fall to the run and but they're slowly, slowly starting to build something. And I think once they acquire more personnel, they're going to get a lot better. But I think we're forgetting about them. And they're doing an amazing job. And they're making plays when they have to. Like Boykin's interception was amazing.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Danny. We get caught up with the offense because that's the sexier side of the football right. to talk about, obviously. But Billy Davis has been the second most important person to this team's success this year. Because if you don't have a defense that at least keeps you in the game, that aren't performing like a sieve out there, giving up every first down, giving up every touchdown to the opponents, it's gonna be hard to win games that way. This defense went on a 9-10 game stretch here, really since they lost to the Denver Broncos, where they've kept the Eagles in every game. They really have, you know, their stretch where they held teams under 21 points. I mean, it's truly remarkable what Billy Davis has been able to get out of these group of players. He has a lot of talent up front in the front seven. They obviously need help in that secondary, but he's done a good enough job disguising schemes, disguising blitzes, and getting pressure out of that front seven somehow to help his secondary so that he's being more than just a serviceable defense out there. They're actually making game-changing plays that win ball games. They did it again today. They did it time and time throughout the year to help with this Eagles' successful season.
Well, I'll quibble with one thing you said. That Brandon Boykin interception, that's a pretty sexy play.
That is a pretty sexy play there, Bo.
Speaking of his game-winning sexy play, Brandon Boykin, we talked to him at AT&T Stadium after the game.
2-point lead, final drive of the game. You're out there on the field. Take us through the play.
I mean, it was man coverage, and I knew they were going to try to do something quick, either get to the sideline or do a slant. And, you know, as soon as I saw him break the slant, I tried to undercut it. And he really threw it kind of behind him, so it allowed me to kind of just slip in there. And I was trying to score until Connor told me to get down. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was good.
In the biggest moment of the season, what does it mean to come up with a play like that?
It's awesome, man. It's a blessing, you know, just continuing our season, doing the things that we've been doing the whole year to get to this point. You know, it's not going to change next week. You know, we got to get ready for this playoff game. It's going to be huge back at the link. So, you know, our fans are going to enjoy it.
How special is it in your second year to be NFC East Division champions like this?
Awesome, man. I mean, you know, I really can't really fathom it right now. We're just in the moment. We're feeling good about it. We still got a lot of work to do, but it's an accomplishment, and, you know, we still got some stuff to do.
What was Chip Kelly's words to you in the locker room?
He just told us to, you know, look up. He said at the beginning of the year, you know, we'll just look up at the end of the season and see where we are. And, you know, we've accomplished what we wanted to as far as NFC East champs. But like I said, there's still a lot more to go. We're still hungry for the next step, and, you know, we know what we got to do.
Congrats.
Like, we touched on this earlier, but Brandon Boykin, Michael Kendricks, Fletcher Cox, Nick Foles, what contributions from last year's draft class, really part of the heart and soul of this Eagles team right now?
Yeah, draft class don't look too bad now, huh? It looks pretty good. And that's the thing you got to allow to happen for young players. You got to allow them to develop. I think the biggest thing for these young players is that they have solid veterans around them this year, not a bunch of me guys. Think about the guys that are playing around those guys you just mentioned outside of Nick Foles, who's on the offensive side of the ball. They brought in Kerry Williams, Bradley Fletcher, Connor Barwin. True pros, guys that come to work every day who aren't selfish players. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's in the middle as the captain of this defense. That allows for those young players to flourish as young players, as opposed to being in the circumstances they were in last year where it just wasn't a unit, it wasn't a team, and you sort of get caught up with all the backwash of a bad defensive unit, which they were under last year. Watching these guys, you know, the future is bright for all of those players as they move forward. The future is bright for this organization.
I really don't think that Connor Barwin gets enough credit because he's not usually the guy asked to rush the passer. It's usually Trent Cole. He's done such a good job of helping the transition from a 4-3 to a 3-4. He's so good in space making tackles. Obviously, he made the bat down on 4th-and-1. I think he's been huge for this defense.
Yeah, it reminds me so much of a former teammate of mine, Carlos Edmonds.
Okay.
Played a similar position where he had to do a lot of the dirty work where a lot of the other guys on the defensive unit got a lot of the flash plays, got a lot of the press, and a lot of those guys wouldn't be able to do their jobs if it wasn't for guys like Connor Barwin doing his job and Carlos Edmonds back in the day. So he really is the unsung hero on this defense because you watch him play, he plays hard on every snap, whether it's run or pass, he's giving you maximum effort, and that's contagious with the rest of those guys.
All right, back to the phone lines, down to the Dirty South, Reggie from Atlanta. What's up, Reggie?
What's up, fellas? Big Ike, what's going on, baby?
What's up, Reggie?
Hey, man, I know you loving that defense. That defense saved the game, man.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat at a Dallas Cowboys fan's house.
That's what I'm talking about.
And guess what? I said, season's greetings from the Philadelphia Eagles for the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Happy New Year, Dallas. Jerry Jones.
They're gonna have to stop that letting guys throw in the middle of the field because when Drew and them come up there, you know that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. You've seen it up close down in Atlanta.
Yeah, man. I was scared as all get out, man. But, you know, I'm loving Chip. I'm doing him just like I did Andy when Ike and all of them came together from 1999 till now. I'm just falling back watching him. Nobody knows what Chip can do. I only saw that high power offense one time when they played the Washington Redskins. So the sky's the limit for the offense, but that defense, man, and that offensive line, they got to tighten up.
I think that's a fair request, Reggie. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. This was the first time I think we've seen the Eagles really lose that battle at the line of scrimmage offensively in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it really has been the strength of both sides of the football, as it is for most good football teams. You have to have strong line play up front. And, you know, give the Dallas Cowboys credit. You know, they had a lot on the line tonight. Both teams did.
Sure.
And, you know, Dallas came with maximum effort. They probably played above their heads, particularly as a defensive unit. That's the best they've looked defensively since they played the Eagles in that first
exactly
game.
Right.
So, you know, next week will be a different challenge. Also, you know, the Saints come in with a heavy passing attack. You know, the Eagles in their secondary, they have to shore some things up. But you know what, Bo? When you get in the playoffs, that's the great thing about the NFL. It's one and done. You have to be the best on that day. So the Eagles are tightening some things up, and they'll get ready for next week, which will be another tough task for them.
No question about it. Next Saturday night, 8:10 at Lincoln Financial Field, the Eagles welcome in Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. All right, taking a quick break here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Still more of your phone calls on the other side, and we may have some more surprises for you from AT&T Stadium.
Peppermint mocha for you and hot cocoa for you.
You've outdone yourself again.
The Dunkin' K-Cup packs.
Show off.
Jealous? Maybe.
Pick up peppermint mocha and hot cocoa flavored K-Cup packs only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Every month, Mr. Johnson goes to the drugstore and connects with a pharmacist to renew his arthritis medication. Which means he can keep up with his granddaughter at her wedding. When older Pennsylvanians make the most of programs supported by the Pennsylvania Lottery, like prescription drug programs, we all benefit. Learn more at PALottery.com. The Pennsylvania Lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Accidentally locked my keys in my truck while stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. So now I'm sitting in the bed of my truck, sipping a latte and smiling. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Enjoy a delicious latte the next time you stop at Dunkin'. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Bo Wolf and Ike Reese back on the postgame show presented by Rico. We bring in now a man who we put out an APB for. We called out for him. He responded. A man who was ready to give up on the Eagles season. Is
what?
He back?
What?
Is he back? Is the Zomp Man ready to buy in for the playoffs?
How about those Bears, baby?
There it is, Zomp.
I guess that's a yes.
I guess so.
Listen, man. I'm telling you right now, giving up. I almost threw in the towel, man. Come on, maybe.
But how could you do that?
Huh?
How could you do that?
Listen, man. When times are rough, you know, I didn't expect a lot. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, man. You know, when you're excited, you say things that you don't mean, my brother.
Where is the faith?
The Zomp says, I got to pass on that one.
Where is the faith out of you, Zomp?
Faith. You know what? I believe in reverse psychology. I believe that every time I say we're going to win, we lose. Every time I say we're going to lose, we win. So you know what? I get bashed on Twitter, but you know what? Whatever it takes for the Eagles to win, baby.
Well, then tell me this right now for everybody to hear. What's going to happen next Saturday night?
We're going to bust some you-know-what, baby.
No, you're supposed to say the opposite.
Yes.
What are you doing? Unbelievable.
All right. Drew Brees is going to throw for 500 yards, and we're going to get killed.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
No.
Take a hint, Zomp Man.
I'm all over the place, baby. I'm a great fan, man. Bo Wolf, even bigger, baby. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now. I got to say, I don't know if you guys agree with it. That 1 yard line, I think it was the right call. Obviously, you don't hit the field goal there, but it was the wrong play call, in my opinion. You got to give the ball a 25, in my opinion. And what else? The cover zero, I love the play call. I just wish that Chung was the one blitzing and having Boykin on Dez. And I want to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think that Chung was originally not supposed to be on Dez. I think it was supposed to be Boykin, but then they motioned Miles Austin out, and that put Chung on Dez Bryant. So credit to the Cowboys for making the right play call there.
Yeah, they got the matchup they wanted there. And as far as that fourth and one call, you know, I thought it was the right call. You know, I blame the offensive lineman up front. You got to get a little bit more of a push. Even Nick on that instance, instead of just telegraphing where you're going, give it, you know, even a half a second and let a little crease develop and then fall over the line of scrimmage. I thought that would have been the way to go there. But I definitely agree with the call. I heard Adam mention earlier, and I totally agree with him. The question I have is the three play calls prior to that. First and goal from the six, you throw the ball all three plays, and then you run the ball once you get down to the half-yard line. But I still agree with the decision to go for it, and I don't mind the quarterback sneak. You got to get a push.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I wouldn't mind is maybe spreading out the formation a little bit. Yep. When it's so bunched up there, you're just creating that mash in the middle there, and especially you can't see anything on a replay there.
Yeah. Obviously, when it doesn't work, there's things we look at, and we wish they had done differently. You spread the Cowboys out there, give Shady maybe a little more room, maybe even run a quarterback sneak there or something like that. But fortunately for the Eagles.
Who are we to question?
Exactly, fortunately for the Eagles, they still wind up with the W. Me personally, Bo, I would have gone for it on fourth and one in the first quarter when we kicked the field goal.
Yep. Hey, Chip knew we had it the whole time.
Yeah.
Unlike Zomp, he knew we had it the whole time.
No! Yo, guys, listen to me. I love you guys. I love Eagles Nation. Thank you for taking my call. And NFC East champs, baby. Let me give an Eagles chant. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Let's hear
it. My neighbors are going to kill me, but you know what? Screw it, baby. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
How about those birds, baby? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. And by the way, the Zomster will be in the building next week, baby.
All right. Thank you very much, Zomp. Blowing out my IFB. You heard it from Zomp. The Eagles lose to the Saints next week. I think we need him to get that out there.
Need to get that out there.
So, as you said, I want to ask you about a special teams thing because you're the special teams ace, the Pro Bowl special teamer. We didn't talk too much. We talked briefly. Donnie Jones, how about that last punt? What's it like to have so much faith in a punter?
Wow, Donnie Longball. Man, my goodness. You're talking about a huge punt at the right time, 56-yard punt. Does anybody ever return punts against him? I mean, how many times do you fair catch? He gets you great hang time. He gets you distance. He gets his coverage unit time to get down there. I mean, that was an exceptional punt at the end of the game when you needed it most. Great job by Donnie, who also, I believe, is a Pro Bowl snub.
Absolutely. Huge Pro Bowl snub. I love Donnie Longball. What a great nickname that is.
Yeah, I got that from Connor Barr when he told me that's his nickname.
Yeah, it goes on, the Eagles Media Relations gives it. We got a new one tonight that I never heard before, Jason Sticky Hands Avant.
Jason Sticky Hands Avant.
I've never heard that before.
He's been here, 9 years? We've never used Sticky Hands Avant, have we?
Never heard it before, but apparently that's his nickname. So credit to Avant. That was a great catch.
It works. It was a great catch, yeah.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. The aptly named George in Georgia. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I'm stationed down here in Augusta, Georgia. And, man, Brandon Boykin, he has been awesome this year. I bought his jersey back during preseason.
Well, you're a Georgia guy.
He was a Georgia guy. They still love him down here. And, man, I couldn't believe it. I was wearing his jersey in a bar when he got his first interception of RG3. And I'm sitting here right now. I'm actually dog-sitting my friend's bulldog. And sure enough, he ended the Redskins game interception and sitting right here with the same dog. And ended the Cowboys game with an interception.
What a play.
How many balls do we have? How many game balls?
That's a good question. Two or three? I don't know. All right, well, yeah, hey, I love that. Big Brandon Boykin fan with the bulldog. I love that. The dog sitter up at 1 a.m.
You got to love Brandon Boykin. I mean, the guy finds himself around the football all the time. Big plays, six interceptions. I mean, basically being a third corner on his team. Now, he plays about 80% of the snaps because so many offenses use three and four wide receiver sets. So he's really just like a starter out there. I'm just proud of the way that he's come through this year because I know this offseason he really had his eyes set on becoming a starter and he wants to be a starter in this league. But, man, you keep making plays like this, whether you're a starter or not, you're going to get recognized. And he's been fantastic for them all year. Seems like whenever they need a big interception, he's the guy that comes up with it.
Back to the phone lines we go. And in terms of wins, the Eagles used to have a little. Now they have a lot. And so we go to Kenny from the Bronx.
What's going on, Bo? Ike, what's going on, baby?
What?
It's 1 a.m. I can go Jennifer Lopez references. Come on.
J-Lo reference? What was that?
Huh?
Nothing.
It's after 1. We can go with J-Lo okay. references. What's up, Kenny?
We're going on a boat, man. I'm just grabbing for the win, man. Kudos, man. The biggest play to me, Carroll Williams, on the two-point conversion, man.
Nope. Yeah, huge play.
Man, huge play, man. And like you said, man, I agree with y'all. Connor balling, man. I mean, the dirty work. I mean, I'm just happy for the Eagles winning, man. You know, it's been a long time. And I wanted to comment on the Chip Kelly era, man. I mean, you know, I believed in him from day one. Let me tell you why. Just to hear Bill Belichick talk about how intelligent Chip Kelly is, you know, Bill Belichick going to Oregon and check out Chip Kelly, how he runs his offense and how he runs more plays, you know. So that's why I believed in him from day one. And, man, I'm just happy for this man. It's been 3 years, man, since he's been in the playoffs, man, since 2010, man. I'm feeling good, man. I think we're going to beat New Orleans. Because, you know, Saints is a horrible road team. We just got to play tighter defense, you know, that's it.
Yeah, we just got to
find be more efficient on offense.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles didn't get much pass rush today. That's definitely going to be critical for him next week. And Drew Brees is one of those guys. He gets rid of the football real fast, doesn't take a lot of sacks. In the middle of the Eagles' defense, we're definitely having to tighten up because you're talking about Kenny Stills, the rookie wide receiver out of Oklahoma, who's having a fantastic year.
Big deep threat, yeah.
Yep. Jimmy Graham in the middle at 6'6", 6'7". I mean, he may be the most unstoppable threat outside of Calvin Johnson in the whole league. So that's where I can imagine that the Saints will try to attack because Jason Witten had a lot of success tonight. What did he have?
Yep.
12 catches for 130-some yards. So he had a big night. And you saw most of the Cowboys' big plays were in between the hashes. They were in between the hashes. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge task for this defense next week to sort of shore that up. But I like our chances outside.
Me too.
When it's cold, the ball doesn't move as well as it does indoors. For a guy who's used to playing indoors like Drew Brees, it'll be pretty cold Saturday night. It'd be interesting to see how that passing attack works for New Orleans outside.
I can't wait to see how riled up the Eagles fans are going to be at Lincoln Financial
Field. We're going to be very excited. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere, man. Like I said, I wanted to sing the Eagles fight song for y'all, but I know there's a lot of other callers.
No, we want to hear it. Give it to us.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Huh.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles fly, on the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Great stuff.
Wow.
All right, good stuff there. Now, as excited as we are, as celebratory as we are, the Eagles do now have to turn the page very quickly because next Saturday night, it's a short week. They do welcome in the Saints. How do you feel about this matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. And I know how, you know, the Saints are a totally different team than they are at home on the road. I get that. And I think that could play to the Eagles' advantage. The weather, not sure exactly what it's going to be Saturday night, but I can imagine it's going to be pretty cold early in January on a Saturday night. I feel good about the game. I mean, I really do. You know, I like what the Eagles are doing offensively and defensively. Now, this brings a totally different offensive threat. You know, the Saints, they bring a totally different offensive threat, and your secondary is going to have to play big because they throw the balls to those receivers and those tight ends, and they got a bunch of big guys out there. And Drew Brees is one of the greatest passers this league has ever seen. So let's not try to sugarcoat that part of it. What the Eagles need to do offensively is take care of the football, make sure they score touchdowns as opposed to field goals. And when you have an opportunity to make a play on Brees in the Saints offense, you got to steal a possession or two. You just have to do that. Make it a fourth quarter game. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Any way you slice it, I expect it to be a tough game. Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And you think about some of the teams that have given the Eagles trouble offensively, and it's been those veteran quarterbacks who can read the defense pre-snap, adjust what the play is going to be, and nobody does that better than Drew Brees. So it's definitely going to be a very difficult test.
Yeah, and you saw that tonight, Bo, with a veteran like Cal Orton. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that's been in this league. He's seen a lot. He has like 70, close to 70 starts under his belt. When the Eagles couldn't get home, he was getting rid of the football. He knew exactly where he wanted to go with it. And that's what veteran quarterbacks do. They wait till you tip your hand to show where you're coming from in the blitz, and then they check. And what Drew Brees does, he does it a lot like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady does. They get to the line of scrimmage with like 25 seconds still on the play clock.
Right.
And it's difficult for a defense to disguise what they're trying to do for 25 full seconds. And Drew Brees is very good at changing his plays at the last second and beating you by putting you at a disadvantage. So don't be too complicated as an Eagles defense. Play these guys straight up and let your offense win the football game for you.
A very big test for Billy Davis coming up this week. All right. Another break here on the post-game show presented by Rico. On the other side, we hope to hear from the man who hired Chip Kelly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, but maybe not just yet. But Bo Wolf and Ike Reese coming back with more right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
A life is more than a heartbeat. It's more than what you see on a CAT scan or echocardiogram. And although we see some of the most rare and complicated heart conditions, and continue to advance the frontiers of heart care every day, we never forget what we're really looking at. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Thanks for financing my first car. Thanks for giving me your smile. Thanks for inspiring me. Thanks for showing me my potential. For teaching me not to take life so seriously. Thanks for loving me and being my best friend. Don't forget to thank those who helped you take charge of your future and got you where you are today. The boss of your life, the Chief Life Officer.
All right, Bo Wolf and Ike Reese back on the post-game show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's take a look at the playoff picture for the Eagles. Once again, next Saturday night, they welcome in the Saints at Lincoln Financial Field. If by some chance they're able to get through the Saints, they'll go to Carolina for a Sunday 1 o'clock game the following week. And things are looking all right for the Eagles here. A very difficult game against the Saints, but as you said, Ike, before the season, I think everybody, 100% of Eagles fans would have signed up for this.
Oh, yeah. Looks like we may have to go through the NFC South.
That's right.
So, yeah, the Saints up first. And, hey, you're not going to get an easy win in the playoffs. It's just not going
to
happen.
And you wouldn't want to.
Exactly. Well, then again, I'll take them anywhere I can get them. But, you know, it's not realistic. You're going to get six good teams in the playoffs, both conferences. You're going to have to earn your way to the Super Bowl. And, you know, getting the Saints here, you know, it's a reason why that team has never won a road playoff game outside.
It's
a reason why. You know, it's just difficult for them to play away from the friendly confines of that Superdome. And next week, supposed to be low 20s, Saturday night. Sounds like and feels like football weather to me. I mean, I can remember December 31st, was it 2000, I believe it was, when we took on Tampa.
It's a happy new year.
On a Saturday night. Yeah, yeah. Those teams don't like coming up here playing in front of this raucous crowd. I
they
can only imagine what it's going to be
they're
like
be
Saturday
fired
night.
Up on Saturday night.
Saturday night. I'm ready to head over to the Lincoln tailgate. Start the tailgate party right now, Bob.
After you want, when we wrap up, you want to go over there?
Let's go pitch a tent and stay there to Saturday night, man.
All right, I like that. All right, so I guess that is going
to
do
I'm
it for us
go.
Then.
Can I play?
On that note, we might as well close it.
Week?
Let's go. All right, well, you heard from Mike. We're going to wrap up here so we can go get our tailgate on across the street at Lincoln Financial Field. Don't forget, tomorrow, Eagles Live returns at noon. You'll get to hear from Chip Kelly live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Plenty more content coming on the site tonight. We're going to have a video from Jeffrey Lurie meeting the media down in Dallas. You'll definitely want to watch that. And, of course, thanks to everybody for joining us on the show. Thanks to Adam Kaplan. Thanks to Ike Reese. For myself and for the NFC East champion Philadelphia Eagles, we thank you for watching, and hopefully we will see you tomorrow.